Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Friday Happier Happy Hour. And Dominic, I welcome back live to the Madison Studios, Sage Wild. He is the CEO of Civic Media. Sage, welcome back, man.
Good to be here.
You got to make talk into that microphone. Yeah. You're on a big, shiny radio station now. Sage, you are effectively my partner, but the primary owner of Civic Media, and we are here in the Civic Media Studios. And on Friday, Sage, we air grievances. And today we're here to answer the grievance of someone technically in the audience. You know, they're all our constituents in some way, shape, or form. But you received a letter of inquiry from Dan O'Donnell. And if you don't know who Dan O'Donnell is, for the audience sake, I know, Sage.
I do now. I didn't before.
Well, we hate to punch down like this, but Dan is a inferior right-wing talk radio product on WISN and WIBA. And he apparently has taken great umbrage with the actions of our host, Man Flynn. Now, we didn't know he was going to bring this to his audience and tweet it and write an article about it. Unfortunately, Matt Flynn is on sabbatical, and this was long planned. Matt just celebrated a birthday. It was his time to take some time off, and it was not our plan to put Matt back on in the mornings. Matt doesn't want to get up early. That was long planned as well. So where we go next is a matter of conversation with Matt Flynn, but how we address this allegation that Matt Flynn was trying to, incite violence on the radio through some sort of veiled threat. That was the statement made. You know, actually, Sage, I know we'll spend more time talking, but let's play it for the audience. Let's lay it out as Dan O'Donnell did on his show. Now, this was yesterday's show on WISN. He plays out in the morning. I don't know. We're not a morning show. I don't listen to him. If you would, Evan, please play cut number 12, host Dan O'Donnell talking about our host, Matt Flynn.
On October 6th.
The Supreme Court has said that they can't squeeze a guy off a case. That's baloney. If all eight of the others got together and said, clown, get off this
case. He's referring to Clarence Thomas.
Case, you get off the case, believe me. They'd have the bailiff not let him into the courtroom. But they're all so intent on defending their own prerogatives, so intent on their status and their vanity and their strutting, they're going to do it right up till 1792 in France, when the mayor of Paris is sitting in his office. A bunch of guys come in and drag him out. Same with the king, Louis. That was it.
It's a rather obtuse reference, but it's pretty clear. He said, they're going to keep doing this. They're going to make these horrible rulings, not forcing Clarence Thomas off the case, until someone comes in and drags them away like they did in 1792.
So I was expecting that to play out a little differently, but effectively we heard Matt Flynn, who plays out here in the mornings or historically has, and Matt made what Dan would say is a veiled allusion, a veiled reference to the French Revolution, 1792, the Paris mayor. And Dom, I thought you had something. I'll let you stay out of this.
No, go ahead. Please continue. Yeah, okay. Lay it out there.
So let's play more of this, more of Matt Flynn, our host's statements, and more of Matt, Dan O'Donnell's characterization of what he heard him say. Cut 13, please.
He's more direct in his reference what he's actually talking about 5 days later in a show on October 11th.
What are you going to do here with Boss LeMahieu? What are you going to do with every Republican hack you see stumbling in a wide short tie around a sponfarkle in your district?
What's a sponfarkle?
And groping. Grip and grin. Grinning and gripping. What are you going to do?
What is the grinning gripping?
What do people in France do with the mayor of Paris and their king? I know what they did. What do people in Merry Old England do with their king in 1649? I know what they did.
That, by the way, is a reference to the beheading of, was it King James, by Oliver Cromwell in the English Civil War.
We don't want that again. What did George Washington do when British judges and kings told him what to do? I know what he did, but I don't want to have to do that again. Well, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. This doesn't even depend on this election. These people are not elected. They are illegitimate. Alito is illegitimate. Gorsuch is a big one on this. He's illegitimate.
Dan O'Donnell does make a valid point in this regard. Each of the incidents that he points to with Matt Flynn, he's talking about the Moore case, which will come before the U.S. Supreme Court. In this case, they could grant basically electoral control to state legislatures. And here in the state of Wisconsin, LeMahieu, Voss, they control through the power of gerrymandering and will control the legislature for at least a decade.
Despite it being a razor-thin 50-50 state.
We're a coin flip state, but that's not the way the legislature plays out. So if the U.S. Supreme Court makes this ruling, effectively, Matt makes the assertion, democracy is out the window.
Yeah, and I think there is some missing context here, and that context is this case. If all of a sudden the framework of how our democracy works is shifted and adjusted and changed to such a degree where the minority overrules the majority, not just locally here, as we've seen with the gerrymandering in Wisconsin, but now across the states, where we could have the possibility where a president is elected by the majority of the people, but you know, some Republican legislatures decide to go the other way because that's now the new way they do it. Now you're going to have a big, big problem. And I think ultimately what Matt's concern is, and he also said, we don't want that to have to happen here. When you mess with democracy to such a degree that people no longer are represented, that their ideas and wishes are no longer represented by the majority, well, you set yourself up for a situation like France, like the revolution, right? I mean, that's what, if you are concerned, the Revolutionary War, what was it? Was taxation, it was no representation. I mean, these are historical things that happened when governments and monarchies were not reflective of the people's wishes and wills.
Dom, you make an excellent point, but I don't think it's the point that Sage and I would like to address at this moment. Whether or not our very historically knowledgeable friend, Matt Flynn, he always says, he starts the show, if you don't know history, you're not woke. Well, Matt was a partner at Quarles and Brady, I believe.
Brady, yeah.
A litigator, a very smart man, knows what he's saying. Now, let's play one more instance that Dan O'Donnell, again, considered the source. He's a competitor in the morning on right-wing talk radio, and he levels the charge that Matt Flynn's making veiled threats that could incite violence. So let's play more from Dan O'Donnell. Cut 14, please, Evan.
Once again, it's a veiled reference, but it's pretty clear. He doesn't want it to come to that, but this is the end result of these sorts of horrible rulings and horrible actions by Republicans. On October 25th, he made his most direct statement, saying, quote, Clarence Thomas, some way, somehow, needs to be, quote, taken out.
The supervising tarantula is Clarence Thomas. Bozo the clown, Clarence the clown. And he's going to take away our right to vote for president. Why? Because he occupies that position. Now, what can you do to stop it? You can impeach him. That takes 67 votes to convict in the Senate. 67 votes to convict in the Senate. The Republican caucus in the Senate is corrupt. There may be one or two honest ones, and I couldn't identify them.
What he's saying is you'll never be able to, upon impeachment, secure a conviction for Clarence Thomas. So you could impeach him, but ultimately that would be fruitless because he'd never be removed from office.
They'll stab this country in the back to simply stay in office. You could start another civil war, which I do not recommend. But what are we going to do when you can no longer vote for president? What are you going to do when they gerrymander themselves every 10 years and keep this up? They've already said that they want to make Social Security. When I say they, I mean Ron Johnson and Rick Scott, two fairly influential senators. They want to reauthorize Social Security and Medicare every year, but they filibuster it.
So what are you going to do about it?
This is a trick, you see. They say they're not going to support Ukraine anymore. The Ruskies are going to go in, rape every woman they can get their hands on, torture them, humiliate them.
What are you going to do about it? We could start a civil war. I don't want to see it come to that, but...
Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And if Trump gets in, he said he'll pull us out of NATO. And what, there's nothing you can do about it because Clarence the Clown got up on the wrong side of the bed, or he's nursing a grudge, or who knows what he's doing? They've got to be taken out, you see? They've got to be taken out. You cannot have a democracy when fascism creeps in on little cat's feet.
What is he talking about there? You have to take him out. You can't impeach him. Or you can. He'll never be removed from office.
They got to be taken out. But okay, Dan O'Donnell doing Dan O'Donnell. It's like standing up in front of an audience and saying, we got to fight for our rights. We got to fight, fight, fight. Well, that's not an incitement of violence. That's political rhetoric.
Well, that's your opinion, Dom. And I've got the CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, with me here in the Madison studios. We'll hold him over, and we'll get one more bite from Dan O'Donnell characterizing our host, Matt Flynn, and accusing him of veiled threats, incitements of violence, if you will, and we'll address what we think should happen. So come back with us. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. You're listening right now.
This is not a Danocracy. This is a Dan-tatorship.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates. I wish I would
have met you. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We'll get there sooner or later. 844-967-2789. Sage Weil, the CEO of Civic Media, joining us. Sage, thanks for sticking around, man. We're going to let you talk here real quick. Right-wing talker Dan O'Donnell, we've been talking about. He's been insinuating, very concerned about angry grandpa's rhetoric in the morning. Our buddy Matt Flynn. About the way he is talking about taking them out. Here is what he had to say. Let's play cut number 15.
This being a veiled threat to someone in the audience. And remember, what Democrats have been saying since January 6th is that there is a responsibility for rhetoric, that Paul Pelosi's attacker was motivated by the dangerous Republican rhetoric. And all it takes is one deranged individual like Pelosi's attacker to hear those messages. Hey, to save democracy, to save your right to vote, to keep Moore v. Harper from being the law of the land, you need to do something. Now, I'm not saying it should be like 1792, but there's no other way to get Clarence Thomas off the bench, and he needs to be taken out. I reached out to Civic Media via email seeking comment on whether they condone this rhetoric, but have not yet heard back. I will share with you their response when and if I get it.
When and if.
We have a response. Here you go, Dan. It will not be a written response per se, but we have the CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, right here in the studio.
Yeah.
Sage, what is your response to those that might have concern about Matt Flynn's tone or veiled threats, etc.? What's your response, sir?
For starters, I welcome Dan's sudden concern for violent rhetoric, and I hope he extends that scrutiny and concern across all of the, regardless of who's saying what, right? And it goes without saying that all of us should contemn violent rhetoric, regardless of the source. It's all too easy and common for politicians and those in the media to rile up a crowd with you know, violent metaphors and whatever else, and then send the crowd marching on their way and then wash their hands of whatever they might do as a result. And in this country, the law protects all but the most inciting speech. And that's, you know, we can have a debate about whether the law should be that or shouldn't be that. But I think all of us should agree that in the media and as political figures, we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard, and we need to avoid those types of statements that would incite others to violent acts.
Sage, we got DM'd by someone in the audience while they were listening to this play out. Matt is trying to incite people to vote. Dan O'Donnell is trying to play some kind of victim card. You can't even pronounce Amory. Sage, what about that perspective that it's not an incitement to violence, it's an incitement to vote.
Yes, yep. Yes, I'm getting there. So here at Civic Media, we choose to hold ourselves to a higher standard. It's not a question of what the law says we can or cannot say on the air, because we believe in civic discourse, we believe in transparency, we believe in honesty, and we believe in providing a forum for people to discuss issues in a respectful way. And so that's what we expect from our hosts. Now, I personally, I don't like Matt's comments. I wish he was here to defend himself, because I would take issue with how he framed his point. I wish he had left no ambiguity in his statements that could be construed as a call to action or a call to violence. And I also, most of all, I wish that he had answered his rhetorical question, what can you do? Because the thing that I'm in my mind screaming out at my radio is that we need to get out and vote. What can you do? You can get out and vote. You can vote like democracy depends on it. You can vote for the candidate that believes in independent control of election administration. You can vote for the candidate that denounces and renounces gerrymandering, that believes in the reforms that don't have a state with a 50-50 split in the electorate, with a near supermajority of Republicans in the legislature. You can vote for a candidate who hasn't said that if they win the election, no Republican will ever lose in the state of Wisconsin again. That's what we can do. So, yes.
So it's not so much that it's unpopular speech with the boss in this case.
Yeah.
It's the thought that we want to set a clear example, that we want to distinguish ourselves, that we want to be beyond reproach, yes, as an organization, that we would never seek violent alternative, violent outcomes.
Absolutely.
Is that the point? Did I hear that part?
Yes. So there's a legal line, obviously, where that's somewhere way over there. And then there's the standard that we want to hold ourselves to, which is beyond reproach. And we don't want to operate in that gray area, right? We don't want to have any ambiguity in what we are saying on the air that could be construed as being a call to any sort of violent act, because that is a key part of what's going the problem in our current political environment. This is what we're trying to address.
So certainly legally defendable, but perhaps morally, or at least per our values as an organization, Sage, it doesn't comport with our values.
100%. And I think the timing here is uncanny, because it's funny because Matt Flynn was already gone. He's on sabbatical. And so it's funny.
Pre-planned. This is not a result of anything.
But it's funny that this complaint came right when he was out of town. A, and then B, we were just in the process of completing a process here at Civic Media. We're a new organization. We went from 2 stations to 13 at the end of this month, of establishing a set of core values for our organization, mission, vision, and core values. And as part of that process, I've gone through this process at a couple of other different organizations, tech companies where we're writing software, we're hosting websites, and we're trying to establish our core values that really pull everyone together. And it always felt a little bit contrived. This is the first time going through this process where it really felt like it meant something, like we had a clear purpose, and those values were really driving what people, how they comport themselves and at what we're doing on the air. And it was heartening to get the response that we got from all of our employees, which was so far overwhelmingly positive, that they really believe in these principles, and that they're something that we can stand behind as an organization and keep everyone aligned. And those include, at the top of the list, democracy, transparency, and honesty. And I think that's why we're here on the air, airing the grievances from Mr. Dan O'Donnell, right-wing talker, complaining about the comments made by our host on the air. And I want all of our listeners to know that what we expect from our hosts and the standards that we set for ourselves, and we hope and that Dan O'Donnell will demand the same from others as well. So we'll,
I doubt see it. That, Sage we'll Wild, hold that thought, because he wouldn't have to look very far. We've got some of the sound of his colleagues.
Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Happier Happy Hour. We've got the CEO of Civic Media. He's Sage Weil. And we've been talking about this accusation leveled by right-wing talk radio host Dan O'Donnell at our host, Matt Flynn, who's unfortunately on sabbatical. And that was planned before this accusation leveled. And we don't exactly like what Matt said, not because it's not defendable legally, but because morally we want to set a higher standard. So the assurance that I will give you as our fair audience is, before Matt would ever return to the airwaves as a host on our station, I'm going to set him down and we're going to have a heart-to-heart and we're going to set clear expectations. And if Matt's willing to meet those expectations, then we've had a meeting of the minds. And if he's not, then we'll move on. But that will be a determination we make, independent of any claims made by Righty Whitey Talk Radio. First and foremost, Dan O'Donnell, I want to play one more kind of funny cut. We got the other one at Dan. You know, we talked about the Dantocracy. What's the other one that Dan likes to talk about with his show and the show?
We never present ourselves as a free and open forum.
No, they're not a free and open forum.
That's a true statement from Dan O'Donnell.
If you've listened to us, we try to at least give you a crack. Now, we don't always agree with you, but we try to hear you. And Dan, I think, is maybe just a little envious of the superior talk show host lawyer, Matt Flynn, because Matt Flynn's a pretty damn smart lawyer. Dan O'Donnell, a lawyer by training, not in good standing, my understanding, under state law. But whatever, you know, Dan can't pay his taxes or his lawyer's renewal fees. That's between him and his accountant. But I would say that when he starts making accusations at our company, and certainly we'll hold ourselves to a higher standard, but he didn't really have to look that far for incitements of violence on the radio. I was talking to Earl. Earl said, "You hear Jay Weber the other morning?" I said, "No, what'd he say?" Gonna need you a little help here, E-Bone. We're gonna play something in just a second, but Dom, I gotta
chime in, man.
Please do. We're looking for your chime in here.
You know, it's Friday, and this is the first time I got a few grievances, and now you're gonna hear about it. Okay, so this is the first time I've actually heard, and we've talked about this, but I actually heard the clips. A couple of things. Number one, I love the fact that the reaction from Sage and you, Crudy, it was to address this right off the bat, to leave no ambiguity as to what our values are and how we want to, you know, run the radio. I think that's amazing. I'm glad that you guys said it and did it. Full stop. That is who we are. We address this stuff. We don't want violence. That's the whole point of this. I mean, if there's violence, hell, who's going to listen to the radio, right? We want to educate and inspire and bring people together using, you know, the skill of conversation. That's the point. So thank you for that. I'm honored and thrilled to be a part of
a company
that
has
that philosophy. Full stop. Dan O'Donnell's presentation of what Matt Flynn said is edited, out of context. Dan O'Donnell is our competitor at what? iHeart, Heartless Media, right?
Yep.
Dan O'Donnell
little envious too.
He's trolling us. There's nothing there. And I love Matt. Matt and I have some differences. Matt represented some people that I don't really care for. So that's not the point. From what we heard, sure, there could be a semblance of well, what did he really mean? And the way that you guys wanted to address it and meet a full stop, I'm down, absolutely. Dan O'Donnell is trolling us. It's not like Matt Flynn was pulling the hang Mike Pence, right? That wasn't happening. We played a cut from a genie, a caller, says we got to get rid of the fascist. Well, what do you mean get rid of the fascist? What does that mean? I mean, so everything, and lots of things that we say, you know, clipped and pieced and parted together could be interpreted in certain ways. And literally, Dan O'Donnell repeats Matt Flynn's statement saying we don't want this. And that is, of course, we need engagement. We need a democracy, so we don't have those things. That is the point of self-governance. So I think Matt's a smart guy. I think Dan O'Donnell's doing a little bit of trolling. But I think the best thing that came out of this is that our philosophy is now on full display. You know what it is. If I thought for a minute that Matt Flynn was going to incite violence and Matt Flynn said, go murder somebody, I'd be the first guy to say, that's absolutely wrong. Get the hell out of here. We don't believe in that. So I consider the source, Dan O'Donnell. Consider their me. Their other host, Crudy, you are going to get to it. Let's do that. I mean, if Dan O'Donnell is so concerned, he doesn't need to even listen to this fine radio station. He just needs to go down the hallway.
Turn around. Turnabout is fair trolling? I don't know exactly. But here's what Sage, still with us, Sage Weil from Civic Media. Here's what Jay Weber. Jay Weber is the morning host in Milwaukee on WISN. This is a station pulling a tin share. They have an enormous audience in the marketplace. And this was the weekend after Paul Pelosi. This was Monday. Now, understand, we were the targets of a little violence earlier this week ourselves. Now, we've been told it wasn't targeted against us for political reasons. We haven't yet confirmed that independently. But Jay Weber, in response to the Paul Pelosi violence, coming back, you know, just being a couple of clever radio jocks, here's how they played it on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. Cut 17, if you would, E-Bone.
All right, there you go. Just everybody's bought out. Have fun.
Yeah.
Hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning. I'd a hammer in the evening. All over this land.
This is 44 on News Talk 1130 WIS. Yes, we're going to talk with Paul Pelosi right now.
Sorry. In case there was any doubt.
To. Look. I thought about it on the way. That's the problem of me working in radio for 40 years.
I guess I know
all this music.
We have all the themes behind. And most often they're subtle and I don't point them out. But Greg always does seem to have a theme that matches the topic.
That one, a little less than subtle. Well,
what, Hammer Time was taken?
Let's move on, gentlemen, to the actual words of Jay Weber when he actually got to talking about the Paul Pelosi, the attack. And let's not forget, Elon Musk over the weekend shared a misinformation tweet, a slanderous tweet about Paul Pelosi. Well, see how much Jay Weber's words reflect the misinformation of Elon Musk. Cut 18, please.
We've been talking about all this since it's been happening in every major city in the country. And because it has been happening in every major city in the country, including those major cities in red states. Yeah, it's been happening in red states as well as blue states, yes.
Talking about Obama,
in America's
was
big
in
cities
Wisconsin
spreads.
Last week.
Yes. So yeah, red states have been seeing crime increase too. But the spike in crime is far more evident in the blue states. And they've gotten worse all through the Trump era, yes, because they were increasingly seen as a reaction to Trump's administration, right?
Okay,
the Democrats have allowed Antifa and Black Lives Matter to riot.
Is that the end of the cut? Let's keep moving so we can get through them. Cut 19, please. More Jay Weber from Heartless Radio.
If they would have been a conservative cause, if these were mega black out there burning down cities, would they have allowed those riots to occur? Of course not. That was all a reaction to Trump.
Burning down
cities. Look what Trump brought. So what is Obama talking about? He tries to casually blame the spike in crime on Trump when it's his party and they're increasingly radical leaders who have been behind it the entire time and really doubled down on coddling and releasing criminals in reaction to the Trump era. Remember, President Trump offered the help of federal troops to every Blue City mayor and governor during those riots. Every single one of them.
We haven't actually gotten to the point I wanted to get to. I feel like we should jump ahead here.
Not even call out their state guardsmen.
I want to get to the Paul Pelosi part. The rest of this, you know, generally Jay Weber often says racially tinged dog whistle kind of stuff. But I wanted to get to the Paul Pelosi part. That's what I was actually calling for here. Let's try cut 20, please.
This is how Democrat leaders toss out casual lies to their dimwit acolytes and why there is so much misinformation out there. Obama's claims go unchallenged in the media, and for the next week, every mindless Democrat friend you have will be on social media insisting, the spike in crime happened under Trump, you know. It's Trump's fault. Spike in crime happened under Trump. Because they just absorb the lies like sponges. They're too stupid to understand how they're being used. We were just talking about the attack on Paul Pelosi in the last half hour, and sure enough, there's someone on the talking text line all worked up. Homophobes! Look, Paul Pelosi can do what he wants in his personal life. He can. I don't care either way. We're suggesting that he be honest about the attack. He wants to have hammer fights with guys in his in their underwear in his home. Fine.
The implication, if you're unaware, is that Paul Pelosi called over a gay male hooker, and the intruder in the home that later scalded him with the hammer was there at Paul Pelosi's invitation, because that's what Elon Musk shared on Twitter, and that's what the people like Jay Weber follow. A little bit more from Jay. Cut 21, please.
But he's spinning a tail, and he's clearly spinning a tail to police, and the left is trying to use that attack as evidence that, you know, Pelosi's in danger and because MAGA Republicans are coming after her.
They're fundraising off of it already. Yes, they're fundraising off of it.
This guy was not a MAGA Republican. He was a left-wing lunatic. He's mentally ill, drug abuser, of the sort that, might pay for sex. But he can do what he wants to do in his personal life, but let's not then lie and use his personal foibles or his personal, sexual orientation, whatever. Who knows what Paul Pelosi is? I don't care. Yeah. My God, he's an older man. I don't care who he's doing or whatever. But you get the point. We're going to use his personal screw-up.
This guy sucks.
Politically against the right? When MAGA's got nothing to do with it? That's what I object to. He can do whatever he wants in his own home. I don't care.
One more from Jay Weber calling Paul Pelosi gay, saying he basically inspired his own violent attack, misconstruing and completely lying, fabricating about the actual motives of this attacker, because of course he said, where's Nancy? He was clearly MAGA. And one more from Jay Weber, just a chill sort of guy down the dial. Cut 22.
I will remind you again, this too is something that just is a truth. It stretches back through the 30 years that that Rush was on the air and the rest of us have been on the air. Every time there seems to be an attack that is, quote, politically motivated, every time the left tries to claim it was a conservative, and every time it was instead a liberal that was doing the attacking. And if they had any sort, this guy's mentally ill. If he had any sort of political affiliations, they're liberal, though.
Sure,
why not? A guy tries to murder Steve Scalise and other Republican congressmen in the name of Bernie Sanders, it's covered up. No one mentions it again. Boy, rough weekend. Yeah, boy, that happened. And no one mentions it again. The guy was a Bernie Sanders supporter who tried to kill Steve Scalise and other Republican congressmen.
Now, Sage, Dominic, I'm not implying that Jay Weber is trying to incite violence, but getting the facts right is certainly not on his agenda. And making light of the political violence perpetrated against Paul Pelosi. Well, he's just fine with that. That's a laughable
downplaying and lying about the targeted political violence against the Speaker of the House and the most powerful political woman in this country. Yeah, I think that's a something to bring to light. And if Dan O'Donnell wants to, critique show hosts, he's got plenty of them over there at Heartless Radio he can listen to.
Sage, do you think we should write a letter to Dan O'Donnell asking him to comment on his colleague Jay Weber and perhaps his commentating?
Is it worth it?
No.
I mean,
it's
think
it's not worth it. It's a rhetorical question, yes. Sage. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Need to establish that a basic professional, matter of self-respect to, like, always try to tell the truth. And it's shocking when you don't see that from people who take themselves seriously.
Shouldn't we celebrate political violence? You know, play a song, something like that?
Hammer time!
No.
You seem less convinced. Well, the methods of our opponents, they're so good over there on Right Wing Talk Radio.
Yeah, 40 years.
We're the ones that need scrutiny. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that he tried to call out Obama because
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are jammed, but we'll try to get to some of you at 844-967-2789.
Dominic here with me in Madison. I still have Sage Weil. He's the CEO of Civic Media. And if we got to sit through the grievances, Sage has to. But we played some of the sound of Jay Weber, who, of course, is a Right Wing Talk Radio host, is the morning host that comes on immediately before Dan O'Donnell. But Dan O'Donnell, who I point out, Dom's moving up in the world. You see, he got a big promotion. Now that Mark Belling's going to take 4 months a year off, Dan O'Donnell gets to carry his golf clubs for him. He's Mark Belling's caddy now. That's a move up in the world for Dan. You know, stuff to say about Dan, but let's get to the callers because they might have nice sayings or something else to say about Dan O'Donnell. 844-967-2789. Jake from Milwaukee. Welcome to the show. Say hi to Sage.
Hey.
Hey, hello. I can tell right now that Vicky McKenna is definitely smarter than Dan O'Donnell. Because she knows you guys, and she obviously knows that to send a letter or something like that, this would happen exactly what's happening right now. But this is what I have to say, and this is from an oath keeper today who was just put into federal prison.
What'd he say?
Hold on.
Wait, you looking for the quote, Jay? Come on, man. You got to be ready with the quote.
You got to get a newspaper out, man.
Okay, sorry. Well, okay, just really quick. He pretty much said that as an oath keeper, they should have bought rifles and hung Nancy Pelosi today, in short. And, you know, that is actual, you know, saying of violence. That's actually wanting to kill.
Right, the oath keepers, man. Those guys are on trial, Jake, right? And, Crudy, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Dan O'Donnell, didn't some of his family members attend the January 6th insurrection?
Well, actually, Dan O'Donnell published a first-person account from his father-in-law, who apparently attended the January 6th rally, and while the father-in-law claimed he didn't participate in the actual violent stuff, he did truly believe it had been stolen.
He
agreed with the sentiment that we had to take it back. He just didn't think the violence was necessary.
And
I would point out, Dan O'Donnell's father-in-law claimed he was there with his daughter, which I must assume, although cannot verify, is Dan O'Donnell's wife. So Dan's wife marched at the January 6th as well. That's my assumption. Wendy, I think her name?
844-967-2789. Jeff from the Madison, Janesville area. You're up next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys. This really isn't, I guess it isn't political. I just wanted to share a little Pink Floyd trivia with you guys. I mean, I'm an old Floyd head, and I saw him in 1975.
Nice.
In Milwaukee. 1977 in Milwaukee. I was in high school both times. I saw him again in Madison and Milwaukee for a momentary lapse of reason, and then in the Division Bell in 94. And the 75 one, although I was tripping at the time, I do remember it.
Transparency.
They, that it, we all got soaking wet. It was raining, and I remember the clouds opened up when they were playing Brain Damage, and there was a full moon. They couldn't have choreographed it any better. You know, there was the lyrics of the right at the end of the song. You know, talking about the dark side of the moon, and there was the full moon sticking up right on us.
Jeff, that's a great concert story, but unfortunately, we're out of Echoes of Pompeii tickets.
Damn it!
No more free ones for you, fella. If you want them, you got to buy them. Call the Barrymore box office. We've already given away all the freebies. 844-967-2789. Our pal, L.A. Tom from the Leftist Coast. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, first off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and must show that in this election that's going on right now. So everybody get out and vote. Everyone go to soulstothepolls.wi.org and get more people, more friends out to vote. I want to say that I actually got brain damage from listening to that Dan O'Donnell, just from the clips that you guys played right there. Man, those people are just, they bring projection, and if the Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it, which is projection. They bring that to a whole new level. I mean, it is unbelievable the way they can just think that this is what they would do and then try to say that's what the Dems do.
Tom, let me throw out one more example. Down the dial, right-wing talk radio, Vicky McKenna, who's Dom's girl. Vicky McKenna, after the first night of violence in Kenosha in August of 2020, encouraged her audience to show up with their rifles, basically be a Kyle Rittenhouse, and make sure you bring enough ammo. To me, that seemed as if I couldn't draw a more straight line between action of a host and perpetrated violence. But what's your opinion, Tom?
Well, I will tell you this. I listened to Matt because I woke up at 4 in the morning here in L.A. to listen to Matt. And I'll tell you what, when he said take him out, he meant voting. Very, very clearly, he meant voting. He meant the Supreme Court was a not elected body. And he meant that we have to take them out. He meant by voting. And if you really listen to the whole clip, not what Dan O'Donnell was saying, that's what it is. But, you know, if they must have got their marching orders from Fox News, because I think I saw something on Twitter where Laura Ingraham was saying exactly the same thing, how could they ever say that the Fox News ever says anything that's violent, any of their cult people, and they were talking about, I think, MSNBC saying something about violence. See, they just go and jump one up on the other person, then they act like the drama queen on the fainting couch.
I do declare, Tom.
They actually did attack the Capitol. I mean, they know of what we're talking about, man. They
no,
did
No, those were the Patriots. They no, were touristy.
That's right. That's
and,
right. That's
you know,
right.
They were never break laws, according to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
No, they how about, love the police.
Oh, by the way, Bernie Sanders at the Orpheum Theater, doors open about 6:30 tonight. That's a next-gen event. So if you want to see Bernie in Madison, Orpheum Theater, get your ass down there. Pizza Box Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Poor little Clan Roseanne O'Donnell. You know, these guys, yeah, it's kind of funny that, you know, they support the January 6th mob. They support the cops beating the crap out of peaceful protesters. Burning down cities, I didn't see anything like that since Tulsa. And you know what? If you're going to say something like you're going to take out Dan O'Donnell, or even worse yet, that Weber dude, take him out and get him baked, man. Maybe they'll change.
You know, I think they're
pump,
on the
pump pass, baby, man. That solves all sorts of problems.
I think they're all seven. Too square for that. Sage Weil, the CEO of Civic Media, thanks for joining us this happy hour. Everyone, Birdie at the Orpheum tonight. Hafeman Brothers going out on the airwaves. And Native Roots Radio next. Keep it locked right here. The Civic Media app, best way to listen.
Thanks, Sage.
People show you who they really are.
And my ranking member would always be bringing up white supremacy, which, you know, I condone.
What?
I mean, I condemn.
Oh, yeah, okay.